And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is unconventional. Each of my guests is discussing an unconventional aspect of life, either in history, in business, or in medicine. My first guest is a disappointed ballerina turned author of historical fiction and nonfiction. We discussed her book about the unconventional rogues, brats, brutes, and bad seeds of European royalty, titled Royal Pains. My next guest is considered America's greatest marketeer by American Way magazine. His blog is the most popular in the world, written by a single individual. We'll discuss his call to action about the initiative you're taking both in your life and in your job from his latest book, Poke the Box. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you know, or if you want to speak to Seth Godin directly, you can call us at 639-0008. Seth Godin is the author of 13 books, and they have been bestsellers around the world. He is responsible for many words in the marketing vocabulary today, including such terms as permission marketing, idea virus, purple cows, the dip, and sneezers. Seth is a renowned speaker as well. He recently is chosen as one of the 21 speakers of the next century by Successful Meetings magazine, and he's consistently rated among the very best speakers by the audiences that he addresses. Seth is the founder and CEO of Yoyodyne, an industry leader interactive direct marketing company, which Yahoo acquired back in 1998. Seth is also the founder of Squidoo.com, a fast-growing recommendation website. Seth holds an MBA from Stanford, and he has been called the ultimate entrepreneur for the information age by Business Week magazine. And as far as I know, he's the only marketeer to have his own action figure. Welcome to the show, Seth. How are you today?
Well, you made me really nervous because I thought you were saying I was a disappointed ballerina.
No, you're not the disappointed ballerina. That was my first guest. Although you may be a frustrated ballerina, and that may come out in the interview as well. We'll have to see. But I really wanted to focus on your business books. You're a best-selling author of marketing books, and you're probably the best-selling author of marketing books for the past decade. You've written about permission marketing, becoming a linchpin, in other words, becoming indispensable, et cetera, et cetera. Poke the Box is about taking initiative and work and in life. So what are the benefits of taking initiative? What do they bring to a person?
Well, let's start by understanding no one gives you initiative, and you have to take it. But unlike everything else we take, it helps everybody, like responsibility. The thing is that that's the biggest shortage we have in our country right now. The shortage is not a shortage of capital or a shortage of buildings or a shortage of workers. We have a shortage of people who are willing to say, I'll do it, who will stand up, take a risk, and move things forward. And as we know, scarcity creates value. So if you can be the one, if you're the guy, then the world will be the path to your door.
All right. Now, you bring up an interesting point, and I've heard you say in other venues that today we're in what you call an economic emergency, and we're going through a transition. Describe the emergency that you're talking about in this transition and how it relates to taking initiative.
Well, what happened was we went through a cyclical recession. Those happen every 10 or 20 years. That's over.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a permanent thing going on. You know, that if we look at what happened in Detroit, 22 people left Detroit every minute for the last decade.
Wow.
The city is almost half the size that it used to be. And the reason is that the factory-based world is falling apart. Now, those of us who don't work in a factory with, you know, melted steel and broken glass and stuff, we say, oh, don't worry, that's not going to affect us. But other jobs are factors, right? That if you're working in an insurance company or a car dealership or a company that sells giant plastic boxes, you still have a factory job if your boss tells you what to do or if you do what you did yesterday but just a little bit faster or a little bit cheaper. But the only place we create new value is when we draw our own map, not when we wait for someone to give us a map to follow.
All right, and that makes some sense. One of the real key themes, if you will, of your book about taking initiative is about starting. Starting is recurring in a lot of different books that you have and on the blog. What do you mean? What is the importance of starting, and how is that different from preparing to plan or strategizing about beginning and so forth?
Well, you know, I just read a galleys of a book. The guy was the 59th employee at Google.
Wow.
And he talks all about how he spent 5 years basically sitting around waiting for someone else to launch something inside of Google, someone else to step up and start the thing. And it's human nature. It's nature to cover ourselves and to wait and to be given permission. But when we think about our heroes, when we think about the people who are creating value, when we think about someone who's got the guts to start a radio show or to start an internet book company or to start a ballet company, those are the people who started. And they didn't just sort of poke around doing nothing. They finished. That a key part of starting is that you ship it. Doesn't count if you say, I've got a notion or a plan. What counts is that you brought something to the market.
All right, so you need to move to finish. You need to take that initiative, and I like both of those things. But a cornerstone or corollary to that is if you are going to be starting, you have to be willing to fail. And most of us are not willing to fail. I mean, school, by the time we're in kindergarten, it really teaches us not to fail, not to take the initiative. So how does one overcome these years of conditioning about avoiding failure so that you can stand up and take the initiative that you talk about in your book?
Well, that's such a great point. You know, if failure is not an option, then neither is success. Because you can't have initiative and success unless you're prepared to have failure. Every coin has two sides, and the flip side of success is it's going to fail. The difference right now, and the reason we have to overcome what we got taught in school, is that the cost of failing has gone way, way down. You know, if you use up an hour on a radio station that's licensed by the FCC, that's expensive and irreplaceable. But if you make a podcast and no one listens to it, it's no big deal because there's an infinite number of them. The failure doesn't cost that much. If you write a blog post that doesn't catch on, it's no big deal. If you write a book and you spend a year of your life on it and no one reads it, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So what the internet has done is made it so that anyone who wants to interact with the market can fail cheaply and quickly. And if you're not prepared to start doing that, you have to expect that your competition will.
All right. We're talking to Seth Godin, author of the book Poke the Box and many other books, introducing new ideas into the marketing vocabulary all the time. And Seth, in your book, one of the stories that you tell there is about the original Starbucks in Seattle that was founded in 1971. The founder, Jerry Baldwin, thought that the coffee beans, the tea leaves, were really the point, not the coffee. And that if Starbucks had proceeded along that same path, it most certainly would have failed. So help me to understand, because here's a guy, Jerry Baldwin, who took the initiative, and he embraced the key idea. He moved to finish. He had a store. It was up and going. And yet it doesn't really embrace the full theme of your book, Poke the Box. Tell me where the analogy falls down.
Oh, it actually embraces it completely.
Okay.
If you're a Starbucks fan, you owe Jerry big time. Because if there was no Jerry, there wouldn't have been a Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz is the guy who rescued Starbucks from bankruptcy. Jerry is the guy who failed first. No Jerry, no Starbucks. So Howard Schultz gets lots of credit for fixing it, but before he could fix it, someone had to break it. And what we see is that every success, whether it's Picasso's art or Mozart's music or someone starting an internet company, is it changes. That the first guy comes out with something, or the first woman launches something, and it's not quite right. And there are tons of people who can help you make it better. But first, you've got to make it real.
All right, so making it real is the first step, and that really was the legacy that Jerry Baldwin left behind, and Howard Schultz came along and made it better after it was real. Let me ask you another interesting aspect about Poke the Box, and that is taking initiative and acting is really a lonely act, and we as humans were social animals. So how do you take the plunge to act, take the initiative, and start something while at the same time nurturing your need for social interaction?
Yeah, well, that's another brilliant insight, I think. And what I'm trying to argue is there's plenty of things we do because we have to, not because we want to. And there are many things that have become habits in our life. You know, you get up in the morning when the alarm clock goes off because you have to. We have alarm clocks because we have factories. The factory has to have all people on deck at the same time to start running. So we got in the habit of putting up with the alarm clock and getting to work on time, even though we don't feel like it. And what I'm arguing is, in this post-industrial economy, we need some new habits. And one of the habits we need is conquering that loneliness and that fear of speaking up. You know, when I give a talk, if there's 100 or 1,000 people in the audience and they say at the end, any questions, and no one raises their hand, every time, no one raises their hand. And then after a couple of minutes, a few people raise their hand. And then after it's over, 30 people run up to the front of the room to ask me a question.
Right.
Well, what were you doing when no one was raising their hand, right? It's that you were afraid.
Sure.
You were somehow thinking that you would ask a question so stupid your boss would hear about it, you would get fired, you would become homeless and die, and that you instantly went from raising your hand to dying in your mind, so you didn't raise your hand.
Sure.
And the point is, there's all these opportunities in our life now to raise our hand, to call into the radio show, to launch a new product, to come up with a suggestion, and we talk ourselves out of them. And I just think that's bogus.
So it begs the question, Seth, how do you overcome the fear?
Well, think about the fears you have overcome, whether it's a fear of swimming or a fear of heights or a fear of asking, you know, a woman out on a date. If it's important enough to you, you figure it out. And my book is a permission slip. It is not an instruction manual to say, here's what you do. What I'm trying to say to people is, this is important. Go figure it out.
All right. We're talking to Seth Godin, everybody, author of the book, Poke the Box. And Seth, just to make you a little bit more interesting, you have got a very interesting story about how you got into the software business coming out of Stanford Business School. And like so many of us, the story has something to do with a woman. Do you mind sharing that with my audience?
I don't know how you heard that story.
I do my research, Seth.
Yeah, apparently. I don't think I've ever told that story before. Anyway, I went to Stanford, and I got a summer job, which is the key job for a two-year program, at Activision, assistant to the president of the fastest-growing company in the history of mankind. It doesn't get much better than that.
No.
And 4 weeks before the summer ended, before the first year ended, my fiance at the time let me know that she wasn't coming to California as she had previously indicated. So I had to drop everything and scramble to find a job in Boston. The easy thing for me to do would have been to take a job at Parker Brothers, a company that I had revered since I was a kid. They had hundreds and hundreds of employees, and they wanted me to join their electronic game division. And I ended up taking a job at a company with only 30 people in it that no one had ever heard of called Spinnaker. And the reason I took that job is I thought I'd have more chances to fail there. I thought I'd have more chances to do stuff and learn from my own doing, not just to watch. And the irony and the home run of the whole thing is 2 weeks after I started, Parker Brothers had some problems and laid off every single person in the division I would have been working
for. Oh, no.
So it all ended up working out in the end.
That is great. And you immediately embraced the idea of failing. What are some of the things that they allowed you to do at Spinnaker that you wouldn't have been able to do at Parker Brothers or really anywhere else?
Well, the very first day of work, there was a meeting at the ad agency. Three people from Spinnaker were there and four high-powered, madmen-type people from the ad agency showing off packaging. And they demonstrated the stuff that they had built, and then they turned to me and said, Seth, what do you think? You know, and I was halfway through an MBA. I had been working for a total of 2 hours. And they said, what do you think? And that's the crossroads, right? The crossroads is, do you want them to ask you that, or are you hoping they won't ask you that?
And so for you, it was the beginning of what has been a long career. We're talking to Seth Godin, everybody, author of the book, Poke the Box. Seth, what do you want readers to take away from reading your latest book?
Well, you know, I've started a new publishing company called The Domino Project, powered mm-hmm. by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The books are built to share. They come in a 5-pack and a 52-pack. They're really cheap hardcovers. What I want people to do after they read it is give it to 5 people who wouldn't read it. That I'm trying to create a movement here, and I think books are a powerful way to do that, but it's only going to happen if the people who agree with me start handing books to people who don't.
Wow, now that's a dangerous plan, because reading has been on the decline in this country for the last 25 years, and fewer readers. So tell me about the strategy. What's going to motivate me if I give a book to, say, Tom, my producer, what's going to motivate Tom to read that book?
Well, it's 85 pages long. He can read it over his lunch break. Got a clever cover. And people don't throw books in the garbage.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
The thought is, here's this high-powered hammer that we can hand to everybody, and it's easy to spread. And every once in a while, a book spreads. Every once in a while, a book reaches 4 or 5 or 7 million people. And when it does, it changes things. And what we found is the book's only been out for 3 weeks. It's already sold more copies than my last three books put together, because people like sharing ideas. The problem is most books are too hard to read, too long, and require too much of a commitment for the typical TV viewer, and we're trying to change that.
All right. Seth, one last question before I let you go, and that is, what did you get out of writing the book poke the box?
Well, what gets me out of bed every morning is figuring out how I can take an idea and move it to a place that frightens me, a place where I feel like I'm reaching out over the edge, maybe a little bit too far. And that's what I felt building an entire publishing company around a notion of failing. And I'm trying to be as passionate in print as I am in person. It's not easy to do. And every morning I woke up nervous about what I was doing. And that's a really good reason to wake up, I think.
All right. We've been talking to Seth Godin, author of the book Poke the Box, his latest manifesto. Seth, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, Google is your friend. So you can type in Seth and read 4,000 of my blog posts, or you can type in Domino Project and read about what we're doing.
Ah, that is great. Seth, it has been a real delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Seth.